nice to be here tonight. And I'm sure that having just said a few words, you'll have deducted I do not have a Lanarkshire accent, and you would be right. Although Mary and I both live in Kitmuirhill now, we actually come from the Kingdom of Fife. We're part of the Kingdom in more ways than one. But it's nice to be here, and thank you for the invitation to come along and join with you this evening. A few weeks ago you had Fraser Stewart and Yvonne and the little boy. You probably remember the little boy being here. We were out for a run in the car one day and we were passing a billboard at the side of the road. And I was driving the car, so I didn't notice what was written on the billboard. But from the back of the car came the words. Did you see the words written on the billboard? And this is how it read. I thought it was most interesting. In fact, I wish we could see more billboards around about our towns and villages like this one. This is how it read. Salvation, don't leave earth without it. Now that was a good billboard, wasn't it? Salvation, don't leave earth without it. It's a bit like deciding to go to Florida for your holidays and arriving at the airport without your passport. And I'd be right, you wouldn't get much further than the airport. It would be a bit like us Scots people going to England for your holiday and forgetting to take your passport with you as well, wouldn't it? You'd hardly get past the borders. But there's more in that little statement than meets the eye. Salvation. What is salvation? And why is it so important that not one of us gathered here tonight should ever consider leaving earth without it? Then, of course, what is this business about leaving earth anyway? And what good will salvation do when I do leave earth? There's a whole range of questions coming to your mind as you think about that billboard. Salvation. Don't leave earth without it. How do I get the salvation? How much does it cost? How long does it last me for? And so on. Let's come to the scriptures and read a few verses together. First of all, we'll come to the book of Acts, chapter number 4, and we'll read a little section together. We trust that the Holy Spirit will bless to us what we're about to read. The book of the Acts, chapter number 4. Verse number 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught by you, builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Did you notice the Bible did not say whereby we might be saved, or whereby we may be saved? But did you notice that the Bible says whereby you must be saved? Now we're going to turn back to the Old Testament, and we're going to look just for a moment or two at the book of Exodus and then chapter number 14. Exodus chapter 14. Verse number 5. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" And he made ready his chariot, and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea of Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not. Stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And we're sure that the Lord will bless to us, along with other verses that we'll perhaps read or even refer to, the good reading of the Word of God this evening. I took a moment just to quickly count the amount of times that the word salvation appears in the Bible. And you won't be surprised to find that it is mentioned 163 times. And so, we're at least learning that there must be something important about this salvation that the Holy Spirit of God chooses to mention it 163 times alone, just under the word salvation. We could also refer to the amount of times in the Word of God that the word Saviour is referred to, or even the idea that is conveyed within the word salvation. For the word salvation quite simply means to deliver or preserve from danger. And so isn't it significant that as we read in both the New Testament in Acts chapter 4 and in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus chapter number 14, isn't it significant that the Bible refers to in both the Old and the New Testament the idea of being saved? You know, I went to school with a boy. And when he was about 13 or 14, he went to a meeting one evening, not amongst the Christian brethren as we know them, but he went to a meeting one evening, and he came back to the school next morning, And he told the lads in his class that he had got saved. The boys thought he had flipped his lid. They thought, hear me. Here's this lad, 13, 14 years old. And all of a sudden, he's telling us that he's got saved. So from that day onwards, they called him, not George, as was his name, but when they met him, they called him saved. But wasn't it wonderful to be saved? Isn't it wonderful to be saved? He says, saved from what? Did you notice that the idea contained within the word of salvation is the idea of being delivered or preserved from danger? I'm reminded of a verse in the scriptures. It won't do me, it won't do you any harm to listen to it being recited this evening. It's a solemn verse. But it helps us all understand the need for salvation. Says the scriptures, because there is wrath, beware. Now you would be rather foolish if you walked up the main road here and you saw a message of warning or heard a message of warning to continue just as you are and pay no heed to the message that you've just heard. Would that be right? That would be rather foolish, wouldn't it? And yet the amazing thing is that if you're still in your sin this evening, if you still have never come to a living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have been doing just that. You've been living in your sin. With the warnings being told out every Sunday evening in the Gospel Hall. With the warnings as the tracts come through the door. With the warnings as people speak to you. With the warnings as you see the cortege passing by. The last time I was in this building was for that very reason. And sometimes we hear the message from God. The message of warning to us. Because there is wrath, beware. And we carry on heedless and careless as if God had never spoken. So salvation carries with it the idea of being delivered from wrath. Delivered from danger. You see, that was the story in Exodus chapter 14, really, wasn't it? God had taken the children of Israel by a mighty hand, and he had led them out from the bondage of Egypt. 40 years they had been in bondage to Egypt. And now the deal of redemption. Now there's another beautiful word. It runs very close to the idea of being delivered, but there's just a slight difference. But the day of redemption, the day of being set free from bondage, had arrived. And they were now marching, the Bible said as we read it this evening, with a high hand from Egypt's bondage. And they look back. Oh, the disappointments when they look back. Hmm? You can remember another woman who looked back, can't you? A Bible character who has no name, whose body never to corruption came, who died a death none ever died before, whose shroud forms part of every household store. And the Bible calls her Lot's wife. Sometimes a filler of soul. Every time you open the cupboard now you'll remember that what that woman did was she looked back. You see, there's nothing wrong in looking back. Ah, but you must understand that the real meaning of the word look back is this. She looked back longingly. Oh, she loved the sin. And she loved being amongst the sin. She looked back longing still to be there. And God turned her into a pillar of salt as a constant reminder
to all of us. We hear the voice of God to flee from the wrath to come. That we do well to flee from the wrath to come and never look back. How many of you dear folks have come to the meetings? I don't know, I've come here as an absolute stranger amongst you all tonight. In fact, I must tell you that I've never even met Stuart before this evening. We've only ever spoken on the phone. So I'm going to speak quite freely. I'm going to speak kindly. But I want to be absolutely honest to my God and honest to all of you gathered in the meeting tonight. How many of you have gathered in a meeting like this over and over again, and you've heard the compelling voice of God telling you to repent, to turn from your sins, to leave the pathway of sin behind you, and to turn on the narrow way that leads to heaven? And how many of you have come along this evening and still you've never done that? Because there is what? Beware. Salvation is a wonderful thing. God is willing. In fact, God has made salvation available to all of us this evening. And he did it by descending his Son from the heights of glory of heaven to the manger at Bethlehem. And the Bible says, the Lord Jesus, he became, that's interesting, isn't it? He became for a little while lower than the angels. He became obedient unto the point of death. And that, the death of the cross. You know why he went there? He went there so that he might make possible for every one of us gathered here tonight. He went there that he might make salvation possible. And God has said, by the sending of his Son and by his death upon the cross, those that come to him in faith can be saved, can enjoy salvation. But I want to try and just raise another little point of argument that some of you might be sitting in the meeting thinking about. Perhaps it might be that in your mind you've got some other way of salvation. You won't mind if I counter that argument with a verse from the Word of God, will you? Because after all, the last port of call that any one of us have is, does the Bible agree with what we're saying or does it not? Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says that salvation is of the Lord. In other words, it was God that made it possible. It was God that executed the plan of salvation. It is God, the Holy Spirit, that convinces men of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. In other words, what I'm saying is this. If you want to enjoy salvation to the full, if you want to be saved, then it is a work of God. You can't do very much about that, you know. You can work all you like. You can be the best citizen newcomer. And that would be a lovely badge to wear on your lapel, wouldn't it? But it won't merit you salvation. Now, I'm not being unkind. If I were a doctor, I would really try to tell you the truth. So I'm telling you the truth from the Word of God tonight. Because someday you will stand before him. And you'll either stand before him as a sinner who has been saved by the grace of God, or you'll stand before him in all your sin and you'll stand before him with nothing to sin.
You know, I was interested in that little story that we read in the book of Acts, chapter 4. Allow me just to turn back to the pages again. The nation of Israel, just a bit like ourselves, had said what they really thought about the Lord Jesus Christ. They had put him on a cross. They had crucified him and slain him. And you know, Peter was one of these, he was one of these strong kind of people. And he actually told you as it was. He didn't couch everything in fancy phrases. He stands this day, and the Bible says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we were this day examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it made known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth. There was a man one day said this, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Says Peter, I want you to understand this. That by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified. You say, well, wait a minute. I never crucified the Lord Jesus. Well, you know, you weren't there at the time, were you? You weren't there 2,000 years ago. When they took my Lord outside the city. You weren't there when they ploughed his back like a ploughed field. You weren't there when they spat upon him. You weren't there when they arrayed him in a purple robe. You weren't there when they crowned him with a crown of thorns. You weren't really there when they placed the cross upon him and led him outside the city to die. You weren't there when that happened. But continue in your sin tonight, just as you are, without Christ. And you are as guilty now as these men were then. Oh, that's a sobering thought, isn't it? Says Peter, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Ah, you weren't there. You didn't stand by the empty tomb. You didn't see the place where his body lay. You didn't notice that the stone was rolled away. You didn't hear the words of the Saviour himself when he said to Mary, Mary, you weren't there. But the word of God declares, doesn't it? That on the third, the appointed day, he rose from amongst the dead. And he lived amongst his own people for 40 days. And at the end of the 40 days, he went outside the city to the mountain of Olives. And he rose with all his majesty to the courts of heaven. Oh, we didn't see that, but he did rise. And he ascended to the right hand of the majesty in the highest. Oh, you say, what's the point in this? What is the whole point in telling me all this? Well, the whole point in all this is quite simple. That salvation was accomplished upon a cross. And so pleased was God with the work of his Son that he raised him from amongst the dead. And he's been raised to sit at the right hand of the majesty in the highest. Until the moment comes when Christ will return again to this world for his own.
Ah, you thought the world was finished with Jesus Christ, didn't you?
Ah, but he's coming again.
He's coming again.
And I'm old enough and yet young enough to believe that he might come tonight.
You know, when Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, when he wrote to the Thessalonians, there was a group of young people. They hadn't very long trusted the Lord Jesus. Some wonderful things had happened in their lives. Listen to some of them. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. In other words, what the apostle was saying, you know, I didn't just come along to Thessalonica and preach the gospel.
Oh, I did that, but it's not all I did, he said.
It came not unto you in word only, but in power. And God was working in the word of God, in the experience, the lives of people who were listening. And in the Holy Spirit, he says, and with much assurance, as you know, what manner of men we were amongst you for your sake. And, says the apostle, ye became followers of us and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when they trusted the Lord Jesus, they began to take the other Christians as their example, and they began to live by the example that was set to them. Ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word with much affliction, with joy in the Holy Spirit, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe. And those that have trusted the Lord Jesus begin themselves to be examples to others. Ah, but this is the verse. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols, to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, even Jesus. This is the point now. Who shall deliver us away from the coming wrath. And one day this world is going to have poured upon it the wrath of God against sin, against your sin, against sin that has been forgiven and unforgiven, against every righteousness of man. And God is going to pour out upon this world wrath the likes of which has never been seen before. But when Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he says this: you turn to God from idols. Ah, the old life of sin, the old life of shame has now been left behind. You have turned to God from idols, to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven. And so salvation that was accomplished upon the cross, that was realized the night when you bowed in his presence and confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, will one day be fulfilled when Christ returns. That could be tonight. To wait for his Son, even Jesus, who shall deliver us away from the coming wrath. What did I say at the beginning of the meeting?
Because there is wrath, beware. So God is about to pour out on this world wrath for the way they're living today. You see, people think they're getting away with sin, don't they? God is patient. God is long-suffering, not willing the death of any. And because God is patient, and because God is long-suffering, people think God is forgetful. And God is overlooking their sin. But one day our sin, which is unforgiven, will all be brought to light at what the Bible calls the great
white throne. It's great because of its implications.
It's white because there will be no misjudgments at the great white throne. And sitting upon the great white throne is the one who died upon the cross at Calvary. And surprise, surprise, the Bible says he will take the books.
You say, what are the books? Well, there are two books mentioned in that chapter. One of them is called the Book of Life. You know, I believe that in Edinburgh, the day I was born is noted somewhere in Edinburgh, the same as it would be for yourself. And if you like to go back to a certain year, and a certain date, and a certain day, you will be able to confirm that on that day, in that year, at that time, David Traill Brown came into the world at 46 Park Avenue, Cowdenbeath. But I think it was 9 or 9:15 in the evening. Amazing, isn't it? God is going to take the Lamb's Book of Life. And that same David Traill Brown, on the 13th of March, 1956, at 105 Moss Side Road in Cowdenbeath and Fife, in the upstairs part of the house, in the bedroom at the front, on his knees at the side of his bed, he cried words like these, "Lord, save me!" And that night, my name, David Traill Brown, was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, I remember trying to give myself an email address. Have you tried that? It can become quite complicated. You know, I thought I was the only David Brown in the world. So I punched in the name David Brown. That came a response. Previously taken. So I thought, I'll try D. Brown. Previously taken. I thought I'll try something else. Previously taken. You know, there are millions of David T. Browns have lived. But my name, my DNA, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So I will never be at the Great White Throne. But if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will stand before the Great White Throne. And there's another book. What's that book called? I'll tell you what that book has got. That book has got every day you've lived, every place you've been. I want you to listen carefully just for a moment, please. Every tear you've wept, every word you've spoken, every word you've not spoken, every thought that has ever crossed your mind. Everything about you. When you started, when you finished school, when you got married. See, what I'm trying to tell you is this. That when you stand before the great white throne, there is nothing about you that God will not know. And when you stand before him at the great white throne, God will know this one thing above everything else about you. That there was never an experience in your life when you took hold of salvation. What were we saying? Salvation, don't leave earth without it. And if you carry on in your sins, if you carry on rejecting Christ as your Saviour, if you carry on just as you are, no matter how good you have been, if you have never been to the cross,
and never enjoyed salvation from the hand of God, then you will arrive at the great white throne, and the end result of it all will be, you will hear these words, which I will never hear. Depart from me. I never knew you.
Salvation is available to us all. In fact, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation.
This very moment, this day in April in 2006 is for you the day of salvation.
And if you will hear God's voice, then harden not your heart. Because to leave earth without salvation will be the biggest escape you will ever have made. Salvation is yours tonight.
Purchased at infinite cost, but given to you as a gift from the hand of God.
And God is saying salvation is yours by simple trust and faith and confession of your sins, but to live and to die and to enter eternity without Christ is to leave earth without salvation. So we pray. Our Father, we thank Thee again this evening for Thy kindness to us. Sometimes we feel rather inadequate when telling out the gospel story. But we thank Thee for the sending of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus, into the world. What a sacrifice was offered there upon the cross. We remember that Israel's altars had flown with blood. But here was one sacrifice. And in the end of the age, He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And to them that look for Him shall He appear the second time, apart from the question of sin, but unto salvation. Give us to realize that this offer has got a time limit for today. Give us to understand that we cannot trifle with God's offer of mercy, and that God's wrath is looming ahead of those who will live and die in their sins. And so help us to understand that we can be saved and enjoy salvation and know it to the full, and know it in a fuller way in a day yet to come, by a simple act of faith in the Lord Jesus. So bless us as we part the one from the other, thanking Thee again for the privilege of reading Thy word and of speaking in a feeble way the message of salvation. We pray that Thou wilt bless all who have heard, and may there be rejoicing in the presence of angels over a sinner coming to know the Lord Jesus as our Saviour. Accept our thanks for Thy kindness to us, as we give our thanks now in the Saviour's presence.